We don't know a lot about the New Testament church at Smyrna in what is now modern Turkey. There's no record of its founding. But what we do know speaks volumes about the opinion Jesus had of this church and the opinion he has of our churches today. Few of us face the persecution inflicted on the followers of Jesus at Smyrna. What would happen if we did? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his 8-part series on what Jesus thinks of his church. Turn with us to Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, as we see what happens when Jesus observes our suffering.
If the first mark of the church is love, the second mark of the true church is suffering. And today, members of the body of Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters, are suffering all over the world. They are particularly suffering in countries such as China, where Christian ministers are still being jailed and other Christians are being thrown into jails and forgotten about and even tortured. It's also true in North Korea. Communism has always tried to stamp out the church. And then it's true in Islamic countries such as Iran, and also in Pakistan, and in Saudi Arabia, and in the Sudan. Wherever the Muslims have a majority, the church is always persecuted. Believers, the attempt is always made to stamp them out. I've seen pictures of the Muslim takeover in Nigeria, the extent of their takeover, about a third of the country. Churches burned, pastors killed, families imprisoned. That's what our brothers and sisters are enduring all over the world. But what about us? Well, we've escaped persecution. I think that those days of persecution are coming. I'm reminded of a judge in the South who told a valedictorian, if you mention Jesus in your valedictory address, then you'll wish that you had not been born. He was warning her, you can't mention Jesus. I'm amused at that because she could have quoted Gandhi, she could have quoted the Dalai Lama, and that would have shown that she was really, up to date on what is happening in the world, but don't mention Jesus. Reminds me of the early church in the book of Acts where the authorities said to the apostles, you are doing all these things in the name of Jesus. Stop doing what you are doing in that name. And they said, whether it is right in your sight to hearken unto God or unto you, you have to judge. But as for us, we will not cease talking and preaching the name of Jesus. The American church has compromised too long, and it's time that we drew a line in the sand. The passage of Scripture today is taken from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, as you know, and the church that we are going to be talking about is the church in Smyrna. The word Smyrna means myrrh. When the people came and the wise men brought their gifts to Jesus, they brought Smyrna, myrrh, which is a crushed plant. And that's perhaps very appropriate because Smyrna is a crushed church, except that Jesus walks with them in their persecution. Now, if you were at Ephesus and you were on your way to Smyrna, Ephesus the first letter, Smyrna the second, I think we're talking about maybe 35 or 40 miles. You say, well, does Smyrna still exist today? And the answer is yes, it is modern-day Izmir. So if you want to find it on the map, you look for Izmir. What I'd like us to do is to see the persecution that was taking place and then see the promises of God. The first part of my message is going to be very depressing, actually. It's going to be very dark, very foreboding. It's going to sound pretty helpless. But don't you dare listen to the first part of the message without listening to the last part, which is going to be optimistic, filled with light and sunshine and blessing and all of eternity. Now, what I'd like you to do today, thank you, by the way, for bringing your Bibles, I would like you to underline five words that describe the church at Smyrna and its suffering. If you're in the habit of underlining your Bibles and you underline it in such a way that it doesn't soak through on the other page, you can do that now. And the text is chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, beginning at verse 8. It says, these are the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. This is going to be very critical for what follows. Jesus is there at the beginning and he's there at the end as triumphant. And he was dead and is alive forevermore. Amen. And now come the words that the church of Smyrna endured. And we begin in verse 9. I know your tribulation. That's the first word to underline. Why were they in tribulation? Well, Smyrna happened to be one of the cities where emperor worship was instituted. They had a temple and they were supposed to burn some incense, at least take a pinch of it and throw it into the fire, and then simply say three words, Caesar is Lord. That's all that was required, are those three words. The Christians said, no, we can't say that because Caesar isn't Lord. The Romans said, go ahead and worship Jesus, but just say Caesar is Lord because you need to worship Caesar along with Jesus. And the believers in Smyrna said, we can't do that. So they were in deep tribulation because of it. And they were thought to be terrible citizens. They could not be trusted in their country to uphold the laws of the land because they refused to worship the emperor. So the first word is tribulation. Second word to underline is poverty. And the Greek text means abject poverty. You see, we're not just talking about people who were marginalized because of their faith. We're speaking about those who had their homes plundered, those who indeed didn't have jobs. They were isolated. When other believers would help them and bring them food, then those believers were also considered to be under an interdict. They also were being criticized and marginalized because they helped those who were being persecuted. And so we're talking about people, something like the description in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, who wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, in dens and caves of the earth. These people were absolutely destitute. And remember why? It was because of their faith, your poverty. But you notice that little parenthesis? But you are rich. Isn't that remarkable? It's there in the text. Because it is possible to be absolutely poor, to have your house taken away, to be given situations that are beyond description so far as we're concerned, and to be rich in faith. And after all, as we shall see, eternity is coming. So the next word to underline is slander. And you know the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Wow. There were Jewish people there who didn't have the responsibility. They apparently were exempt from acknowledging Caesar to be as Lord. And they persecuted the Christians. They slandered them. And these were not true Jews in the sense that they may have been Jews so far as their racial origin is concerned. But spiritually speaking, they were not true Jews. They certainly weren't, in Paul's sense, where a true Jew is one who acknowledges God and trusts God and then trusts Jesus as the Messiah. Regardless of who they were, the text says that they were of the synagogue of Satan. Contemplate that for a moment. What that is telling us is this, that if you want to look for the devil, you don't find him among the alcoholics. The demons can do that work. You don't find him among the pornographers. The demons can do that work. You look for the devil in the midst of religious institutions. That is the most important place for him to be. You see, we could say the synagogue of Satan. We also find him in the church of Satan. And by that I'm not talking about an actual church that is named the Church of Satan. Apparently there are such occult worship places. I'm talking about a very dignified church, a very upscale church, where everyone goes and where the Bible is even opened to give a little sermonette to a group of Christianettes delivered by some Christianette, I guess. That's what I'm talking about. Where there is no cross, no sin, nothing. It's just, we're all such wonderful people, and we could even do better. And the better we do, we'll go to heaven. We could say, the synagogue of Satan, the church of Satan, the mosque of Satan. When you want to find the devil, you go to places like that. Because remember, his most important agenda is to keep people from faith in Christ. And if they can have a false religion and a false sense of security, he has what he wants. I hope that you return for the next message in this series, because I'm going to tell you about the next church in the next message, where it says you are where Satan's seat is. And I'll even tell you now, I believe that I have walked on Satan's seat in the city of Pergamum. And I didn't do it in Pergamum. You have to come back to understand that. So what God says is, you've endured this slander from those who claim to be religious, but who use their religiosity to persecute the church. And then he says, the next word is prison. Behold, the devil will throw you into prison. You can underline that word. And when you think about prisons in the early times, they were terrible places, but it is there that oftentimes they were sanctified by the presence of believers. And then the word death, be faithful unto death. Those are five words to underline. The most famous martyr there in Smyrna was a man by the name of Polycarp, who had been friends with John the Apostle. And Polycarp, in the year 156, was brought before the authorities, was asked whether or not he would recant, and he said no. And he said these words that are famous in church history. 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme the king? And that undoubtedly was a slap in the face of Caesar. How can I blaspheme the king who saved me? Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. The reason that this message is so important, this letter to the church at Smyrna, is because we here in America have forgotten that suffering is part of our calling. It was Bonhoeffer who said that the church will never be strong unless we realize that suffering is a gift. Unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but to suffer. So let's learn from the suffering church, because suffering may be on our plate too.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing us to When Jesus Observes Our Suffering, his third message on what Jesus thinks of his church, taken from Revelation chapter 2. Tomorrow, more on martyrdom. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. What Jesus thinks of his church probes our motivations for serving the Lord. And this entire series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.